Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another webinar here at WP Studio. It is the middle of October. The rain is falling here in DC. Temperature is crazy because I think it was the other day we were in the 80s. It was extremely hot. And then in the nights, it gets down to, you know, low 40s, really cold. Then the rain, who knows? We'll probably be having snow, sleet, and 100-degree weather coming up. That's just how weather is here in DC. Well, today we are going to be having a conversation about, I'm calling it the gig economy for freelancers. Now, I'm just going to lay the stage because different people have different terminologies for or definitions for what the gig economy is. And the definition I'm using for this webinar, a gig economy are side hustles or side jobs or side income streams that don't have anything really to do with your main source of income. And while it is true that there are some people out there who can view the gig economy as simply going contract to contract, that's true. A gig economy can simply be streaming several part-time jobs together to make enough income for a full-time position. But what we are doing is we are approaching it as web design developer, designer, assemblers, web creator, freelancers. And how do we fit into the gig economy? So the premise of this whole webinar came about when having conversations with multiple people who they are talking about the highs and the lows of web design business. The idea that sometimes you can be so busy, you don't have a moment to think. Sometimes you forget to eat because you've got on contracts or you're on deadlines and you have so much work coming and the money is coming in, it pays the bills, it takes care of everything you need. And then there are those times where no matter what you do, you can't seem to get a client. You can't seem to get anybody to pay their bill. How many of you have ever had that situation where you have highs and lows in your business? For most of us, it's going to be yes. That is normal. And so rest assured, that is normal. Now, some people do a better job of spacing their contracts out, or they're just able to, because of the type of clients, it's able to carry through. And so, yes, for many, it can be feast or famine or anything like this. Now, there are many blog posts out there, or webinars out there that talk about, well, how you can get into the gig economy today. But most of those are just, here's what you can do. And they don't talk about you doing that alongside your actual business. See, for the longest time, I have struggled in conversations with different people in how to encourage someone to continue focusing and growing their web design business, their web development business, their freelance business, the thing that they want to be the primary business, while still making enough money to put food on the table. Because if we redirect our focus and go get a part-time job, redirect our focus and pick up a whole bunch of different gig jobs in this current gig economy that exists, which is ginormous, we forget to keep focused on what we want. Does that make sense? The idea that if we are pulling our focus away from the goal of building our business, we're not going to build our business. So today's conversation and webinar is going to talk about how we can tap into the gig economy, but don't get sucked into the gig economy. Because for many, it may simply be, oh, just go drive Uber. Because yes, you can set your own schedule or just go get a part-time job. while that may be what is needed to bring money in to support a family or to support yourself or to support others, sometimes our energy and resources are not, we don't have enough left over to focus on our business. So what I have come up with is, I think, ways web developers can not only enhance their skills, not have to live in this little box like this image we have on the screen, but this is, for many people, this is what freelancing can feel like. We are contained. Everything is right there. Sure, we have our dreams of something happening in the future, but we are just so focused on trying to get each contract done, work forward, build the business, that the moment we start doing other gigs, we get distracted. So what I'm going to present are a number of gigs that you can do to help you get through the tough times, or even just have something on the side, or as some people refer to gig economy as the side hustle. Let me move this so I can actually see this. Okay. So the first concept I'm going to tell you about is simply a tiny little bit of marketing that not only takes into account your capabilities of creating a little website, but it also talks about promotion. It also talks about utilizing social networks. And it's one of those things that, feast or famine, sometimes, let me just put it this way. How many of you have friends or family or close relatives or people in your community that you have recommended something? I'm not talking about affiliate stuff. You have recommended maybe a concert or a movie, and then you find out later that they went to go see that movie, they went to go see that concert because you told them, hey, that's a good show. So I would say, yes, maybe it's not huge things. Here's another one. Whether you're a part of a social organization, whether it's a church, an outreach group, or something else like that, I venture every single time I hear people talking about their favorite restaurants. And so people say, hey, you should try this restaurant. What I want you to understand is by saying, this is a restaurant I like, this is a movie I like, you are an influencer and people take your advice. And many times it's simply, they might see you having a certain shirt. They might see you having a certain coffee mug and they really like that concept. So one of the things that can be done is a side gig of selling something on Cafe Press or any of those type of digital print on demand. Now, what I'm going to talk about is getting a simple concept, and I'd like to talk about this as bumper sticker marketing. If you have a funny phrase, or a concept, it can all be words. It can simply be one of those, phrases that, yes, you have like just a bunch of hocus pocus. Nice. This is something that there's design in it, something else. But you know, we've also seen those type of coffee mugs that are all I need in the morning is alcohol in my coffee. And then on the bottom of the coffee cup, it says, relax, the kids can't spell or the kids can't read. the idea of if there's a humorous little thing, or these bumper stickers that say, "My kid's not on the honor roll," but still drives better than your kids, or you know, these little bumper stickers. You see, if you just search for humorous bumper stickers, you'll see a whole bunch of those clever concepts. Well, what you can do as part of the gig economy, if you've never done anything with cafe press or digital printing, if you have a single image, you can simply create t-shirts, coffee mugs, bumper stickers. Then you have a simple little domain name, whip up a little WordPress website that sells the cafe press stuff. Then you go do a few Facebook ads, promotional things where you learn, where you take what you've learned, how to target certain groups that would follow this type of stuff. So somebody who likes bumper stickers, or has bumper stickers on their profile on Facebook. So you target an ad to there. You start searching Twitter for people who are talking about bumper stickers, and you reply to them with a link to your funny bumper sticker. You take out a Google ad. Not even self-promotion. Here's why this works as the idea of selling on cafe press. You make the tiny little bit of money that's coming in, but you have also now built a website that can be used as an example for your clients that is selling products, and it's residual. Basically, you set it, forget it, maybe put up a few social network ads that will generate the traffic, keep it going. But what you've now done is, sure, if you could get a few people to buy, like your, and you tell your neighbors, your friends, the people you know, it's amazing how many times when somebody shares with me a humorous thing, they created a t-shirt or a hat, or especially a mug. I like mugs. They tell me about it. I'm going to buy that mug just because, A, I know you are the one who designed it, and I find that funny, and I like coffee mugs. So if you get a few people to do that, all of a sudden that little free website that you spun up real quickly, and you could most of you could probably do it in less than a day, just made me $200. And it sits there on the shelf. Every once in a while, you might get $20, $30 coming down the road. But I can use it as a portfolio piece. What better way to create a portfolio piece for your web design business rather than having one of those clients from hell who says, "Oh, well, you should build me a website for free, and then you can use that as a promotional piece." No. If you are going to be building a promotional website to demonstrate your skills, or at least just your design, or to throw something up there so you can use it as a reference point to future clients, it should be your own. So that's one of those type of gig type things that can not only lead to future sales, it can be a resource as a reference, and you can make some money because your friends and your family, it's human nature. We like supporting our friends and our family. Most of us. And so think about it. It's just a very simple way to do it. And the reason why I bring up those Teesprings or Cafe Press or any of these digital things, all you need is a single image. And then you can put it on hats, t-shirts, no cost to you. You simply get a percentage on the back end when anybody buys. And Sanford, yes, for generate traffic, I would target Facebook ads. Just take out a Facebook ad. And remember, you can target a Facebook ad, which is specifically there to link to a website. So you built a little website. which highlights a number of the products that you're going to sell through here. Take the Facebook ad out, target it. You can just run just a few bucks a day or less, you know, $7 for the entire week or $5 for the entire week. It doesn't have to be much. It's a little bit of traffic. Most of your traffic probably will come from your friends and family who you're telling about, and then they will tell their friends and family. Some of them will. And then the other one is you simply pay attention to social networks when people are talking about the concept. Just slide in, respond to their tweet, reply to their tweet with an image. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. That's the other thing. If you are going to slide in a reply, Ben, I'll answer that in just a moment. This is a marketing trick. When I say go search Twitter for people who are talking about your topic. So let's say you decide that you want to create a bumper sticker with your own design that says "Stand with Hong Kong" or something like that, and be really political about it. So you build a website, Stand with Hong Kong, that's got these t-shirts and other things and blah, blah, blah. Well, when you have people on Twitter who are saying, I stand with Hong Kong, rather than reply with text to say, I stand with Hong Kong too, you can buy this t-shirt here. Don't do that. Simply have a picture of the t-shirt, the bumper sticker. And then you can link. Don't pretend like you're going to have a conversation to get them to visit. Simply put the image. Same thing for Instagram. Simply put an image as the reply. You will get more traction that way than you will where people think you're just, it's weird. If you put text, they think you're trying to be a used car salesman. If you put an image, they agree with me. Okay, Ben, clarify. The e-commerce, I would not do the e-commerce order on my site. For this concept, again, I want as little work where I want you to be able to spin this thing up within half a day or less. So you've got an afternoon, you have an idea, you have maybe a little concept. Maybe some of you want to do a 2020 I vote for no one poster. So create a nice little design. Or maybe you have a dog sitting next to their wolf, 2020. Fun little way of doing it. There's going to be people who are like, oh, that's cute. So you just simply plaster it all over your Cafe Press item, put it on a bunch of things. Then you just take those images that Cafe Press gives you, put those images on your WordPress website that link off to Cafe Press so that they can purchase over there. All you are doing is, if you have a domain, a website, that's your landing page for all your advertisements. So that would be what I do. Plus, if it's your landing page, it then becomes a portfolio piece for your business. Okay, any questions about that? That's a type of gig economy anybody can do, and it still supports your business. And it still allows you to build your business. All right. We always hear concepts about virtual assistants. Well, if you have some downtime, you can be a virtual assistant. There are a number of you in this community who do that on the side, be a virtual assistant. Where, you know, doing research for somebody, doing data entry, doing customer service, doing phone inquiries, follow-up tasks for other people. But what I do want to point out is that virtual assistants can also be local. And what I mean by this is you don't have to be virtual. You can be in person to be this type of virtual assistance. And one of the things many small businesses want is someone to hang flyers, canvas neighborhoods, and do other tasks around town. So the reason why I've always found this when I was younger as beneficial for building certain types of businesses. If I'm doing some marketing for a group or I offer flyer design, you know, there's lots of dance studios, music programs, local theater groups who may want a design for a flyer. One of the things you can tack on to that, or at least offer, is we can take your flyers to and get them to be hung in store windows. So if you get that type of a thing, the first time is you walk in, you get a relationship with all the different store owners for hanging the flyers. Now they're going to pay you $100 for the day to hang all their flyers. Not much, but it's something for the day. You get out of your studio, you get out of your house, you've gone out there and you've hung these flyers. But if you take the time to do this once or twice and you visit the same store owners, all of a sudden you have a store owner that knows you, treats you as a bit of a business relationship, not as a customer, so that you can then, in your free time, look at all of their websites and say, you know what? Yes, we do this marketing stuff on the side, but my main business is building websites. And I just wanted to let you know that I am offering a 25% fall discount for the web development projects. And that's one of those ways where you can use the concept of a virtual assistant, do tasks for people. And especially if you do tasks in the neighborhood, in your local area, the relationship you have with now those local business owners is different than simply coming off the street, trying to get them to do business with you, that you do your business. If they already have a non-threatening concept of, oh, you do some guerrilla marketing work for other community work or other businesses by simply hanging that poster in my business window, in my store window for the community. When I finally have a moment to talk with the owner and say, hey, I'd love to redo your website. They're treating you not as a customer who comes in and buys coffee, but as someone who has been doing marketing work and they've seen you do marketing work. And it's just simply trying to take what is a traditional gig work where it's a one-off, just a simple contract, and parlay that into a way that you can use to build your business. All right. This one is a lot of fun, but you have to live in a city that has resources. For example, how many of you ever heard of museum hacks? Anybody ever heard of them? If you're in New York, San Francisco, LA, or DC, you might have heard of them. Okay. This is just a bunch of not unofficial tour guides taking people on creative tours of museums. You may not have known that, but just about every single museum or historical area, yes, they might have their official tour guides, but you can take anybody on a tour. You can take your family, you can take friends, you can take other people who may pay you for a tour. All you need to do is come up with stories about the different pieces of art or locations around town. And this is another one of those mini websites that you can build. All it needs is a simple website that talks about this is the type of museum. This is the battlefield that's there. Now, some of you may already like those things. You may already have interest in Civil War battlefields, quilts in areas. So if you offer the ability to take a untour guide, that's what Museum Hacks is, kind of like the museum tours for those who hate museums. And I've worked with them before, and I built some of their stories. And basically, you just tell the story behind the story. Most of us already know these type of, if we've lived in an area, we already know these stories behind a story. So what better way to have a website that simply has bookings for tours? You can just simply do it Monday at 3 and Thursday at 1. If nobody books it, fine, you can just go do some other work. But it's another project portfolio website that you can highlight images, you can highlight your town, you can highlight your area. And there are always people looking to pay for tour guides. It's amazing. That this also helps your SEO. Now, if you live in New York, LA, or DC, it'll be a little bit harder to compete against all these untour guide groups. But if you have a smaller town, maybe you have, let's see, where was it? I've completely forgotten where it is. There's a town that recently it was like one of the oldest firefighter museums. Basically, it's one guy in this massive warehouse, and he has people coming in all the time. And you just go in, pay your donation or like $5 to get past the door, and then you're free to roam. Well, if you visited it a few times, put up a website on tour this thing, have a tour guide, you can tell the story about different engines, different things. And basically, you can spend a day or two learning these things, writing your stories, give people a tour. People want this type of resource. So not only can you make a little bit of money, $75 if you get a family or two groups to come for your tour, any number of things. The core thing is you built a small little website. A small little website that, whether using like Gravity Forms or something else to create booking a form, you now have a portfolio website that handles booking. So rather than just build a website that can't really do anything and say that, oh, sure, this is a booking website, but it's just an example. Why not actually book something or set something up? You may not ever get anybody booking your tour, but you've built a website. It's your portfolio. If somebody does book something, great. You show up at 3 p.m., take them on the 45-minute tour. They've already paid for it, and you go home. But now you have your bumper sticker coffee mug T-shirt store that you can demonstrate as a example website. You now have a booking website. All right, now to change the focus, because let's talk about ways that you can actually make some money that works with our type of business, our freelance business. I always look for things that allow me to still do my work. House sitting. Why is this good? Because we are the perfect type of house sitter. Our business is mobile. We can stay at somebody's house while they're out of town, or because they want their plants watered, or whether they want their pets walked while we're there. We can sit at their kitchen table. We can set up our computer. We can be on the internet. We can do our work while getting paid to house sit. There are numerous websites that set up the ability for you to house sit, for you to put up your own profile that you'll house sit, that you are mobile enough. So what a brilliant way for you to make an extra $300 on the side for the week. You're living in somebody else's house, but you're still able to, quote, go to work in your jammies, sit on your computer, do your work, attend your webinars, talk to your clients, and you are simply being paid. And so the your profile on these type of websites does stand out because you have another job. And the job is mobile, and your job does not require anyone to come visit you. So therefore, you are simply being a resource. You are being their pet walker, their plant waterer, their whatever. You may be in an area of the country where this may not be as prevalent, but it is amazing how many people still, now they're normally on the more wealthy side that they look for house sitters because they just simply want either their pets to stay in the home or they want their home to be occupied. Here in DC, there is a lot of this because rather than have your home sit unoccupied for 2 weeks where things could happen, this is a way for a lot of, you'll actually see if you actually, house sitter jobs. So how many of you have ever been on housesitter.com? Let me pull this up. Oh, let's go to house sitting jobs. $44 a day. How about this one? $352 a day. Where's that? And again, you may also simply find somebody who is in your own hometown. This one simply needs somebody to periodically drop by their townhouse. Well, what if they're simply two blocks away from you? It's another type of side gig that could be there. Sure, you don't have to live at their place, but it's a simple, simple type of job. All right, so that's another way that we can continue to do our business. Now, this doesn't work for me, but as I learned early on in my career, what works for me may not work for other people, and what works for other people may not work for me. Whoops, one second. I need to pull my, it looks like I typed the wrong website. Where did it go? Ah, there it is. Because right now, over the summer, I actually shaved my head because it's much easier to work on the boat's engines without having hair. But did you know that there is an entire website for selling your hair? And if we look over here, there are people who have made $275, $200, $300, $450 for their hair. And if we are doing freelance business from our home, do you really need your hair? No, I'm kidding. But sometimes our gig economy we may not even know that, you know, we may be sitting on some money, or actually having money hanging around. So just wanted you to know that sometimes your gig economy doesn't have to be just one thing. You can actually, I'm trying to keep it, not get rid of it. Yes, Ben, exactly. Okay. Now, I know there are a number of you who do writing work. You do proofreading. Right now, there is a huge economy that is looking for people to help write or rewrite or craft resumes. So there is an entire section on LinkedIn about where you can hire someone to help you with the resume. Now, the people you are hiring are other people who are saying, I can help you write your resume. So it's probably a good idea if you have not updated your LinkedIn profile or created a LinkedIn account, is simply create one so that if you decide that, you know what, I'm really good at writing and I want to be very focused on writing resumes, I'm very good with buzzwords and writing something succinct or helping somebody craft what they've done in a past business down to 4 bullet points, there's some good money to be made for that. All right. Now, this next one is taking the concept of if you're already doing the work for a client. How many of you have ever had a client who says, can you do some research because we want to reach out to all the law firms in the area? And we want to send them a message because we're going to offer a service that would be particular to certain law firms. Anybody ever have, I mean, or something along that line. So, you know, find me all of the dance studios because we want to promote something or we want to invite them to an event. I definitely have had clients like that in the past. And one of the things I realized while I was working with my wife's business is recently she had a big event here in Washington, D.C., and we needed a way to reach out to as many music teachers, specifically music theater, especially high school programs, not mainly private stuff, but actually in the schools, and get them to say about this one event that's happening in D.C., a masterclass thing. So as I did research, I found that, you know what? Nobody has compiled a list like that. So I spent a morning going through just about every single website. And if you've never tried this, just about every school system in the Washington, D.C. area and Virginia, Maryland, D.C., they have all of their teachers' accounts, email accounts on public directories. And so I can simply just pull all music directors and theater directors, the theater teachers, grab their name, their email address, and generate a list. So I generated a list of 450 teachers, publicly accessible information, so that I can reach out to them about specific interest, music interest, that their students might be interested in. So this is not, I'm just collecting a whole bunch of stuff so I can spam email. This is, we are doing a masterclass or we are doing a college preparatory event for going on to school. Well, here's the thing. I only needed to do a few things for what my wife needed, but I decided, I think there's a little bit of value if I keep building this and go out to different counties. It's only taking me half a day to do it. So I collected all these things. Over 450 are on my list. And it turned out that then there were other music teachers who were doing programs that decided, I want to reach out and can you help me craft a marketing email or create a flyer that you can send to all the music teachers? Well, all of a sudden I started getting clients who wanted just a specific marketing thing. not marketing, sell a product, but to tell about an event that their students might be interested in. So the interesting thing is, when it comes down to canned spam and other items, because these are public school teachers and their information is publicly accessible, so for people to reach out on regarding educational opportunities, there is not a canned spam. Now, if I were simply turning around trying to sell products to this, yes, we run into canned spam. But if you have an opportunity where it's simply informational stuff that is related to a person's business, a person's things, we can collect those and kind of build our own list. Now, we still have to send everything out with the ability for them to unsubscribe, to remove themselves from receiving information. You can do all that. But having this in the idea, all of a sudden now you have this targeted group that when you decide to go out to other music teachers to build them websites or something like this, we can say, you know, part of what we can bring to the table is a targeted group that can blanket all music, high school music teachers, both private and public schools. Now, I put that all in thing because that's building your own list from publicly accessible things. This is not scraping. You actually, most of those places, you're not going to be able to write a script to go get the stuff. You have to go to each school's website, find their staff directory, and grab the specific school, the specific teacher for that. But I set that up beforehand because, yes, affiliate marketing still works for other products, but it really only pays off if you have large followings. So I'm just going to move past that. But I do have four other things that sometimes when we are doing our freelancing work, I don't know if you're like me, sometimes simply being able to be paid for a task, even if it's manual work, where there is a beginning, middle, and end, I feel like I accomplished something. And so it actually helps my self-confidence in doing work, even if it has nothing to do with my real work, my full-time work. It's the idea of one of the reasons why some people really like mowing their lawn is because they can see the progress. They can see how the lawn was beforehand. They can see what the lawn is afterwards. There's a sense of accomplishment. Same thing with, you know, baking a cake or something. There's the sense of accomplishment of seeing the end result. That's where the idea of the gig economy of looking at things like TaskRabbit. Now, some of you may already be very familiar with these type of things, but TaskRabbit is basically just services. Are you really good at assembling IKEA furniture? Well, there are probably people out there that will pay you $50 to put together their bunk bed. $100 to put together the bunk bed so they don't have to do that. Are you good at, you know, you can just run through here. Do you know how to fix a running toilet? This is not, do you know how to be a plumber? This is, can you go look at it and say, hey, the little bobby thing doesn't fit correctly. So you just need to buy a new one of those. Customer goes, buys it, or they give you the money to buy it, and then you just go replace it. Painting stuff. You don't have to be a professional to come on here. There's different things like TaskRabbit. There's also things like, if you're not into the hard labor type, not hard labor, but maybe you want other things like Thumbtack. If you haven't seen these things, yes, you've got a lot of house cleaning, handyman, local moving, but did you know you can find personal shopping? Watch this. If I do shopping, well, let's do this. Shopping services. Let's see who's, I don't think anybody does this, maybe in DC. We'll find out. Let's see what people are looking for. Well, that's, you want to help her build her wardrobe? She'll pay us $70 an hour. Let's do remote. So these are style consultants, personal stylists. Now, if you chose a different one, you might simply find somebody who needs help, not so much with grocery shopping, but they just have a whole bunch of errands that need to be done. And then there are also things like Upwork or Mechanical Turk. How many of you have a Mechanical Turk account? Or how many of you have heard the word, but you have no idea what it is? Mechanical Turk. No idea. Mechanical Turk is a distributed a way that Amazon is able to accomplish large-scale tasks. For one type of thing is, you have somebody, you have a company, let's say IBM comes there and they want to get feedback on how somebody uses a certain website. Or, and they're looking for 10,000 people to use it and to give feedback. Boom. That's like a 5-minute job and you get paid a few bucks here. There's also things like they may give you 2 audio files that you just transcribe. That's it, 2 audio files. Now, you may be working with 400 other people who are doing the audio files where in the end of the day, it's an entire college lecture course has now been audio to text. And all you had to do was these 2 paragraphs. So there's a lot of things that can be done. You basically, other companies can come and say, hey, we've got these big projects. And guess what? You can be a worker and you can earn money and it can be a small amount of money. But when we collect them, it's actually little tasks. So Amazon Mechanical Turk is definitely a way if you are looking. Now, you actually have to go in a little bit more. You're not looking at doing, you're not looking at here. You were wanting to get started with Mechanical Turk so that we can get paid. We want to be workers. You don't want to be the requester. But it's one of those ones that you will get an email saying, hey, there's something, there's a possible project. Do you want it? It's $4 here, $3 here. It's $15 here. And if you just have an hour here or an hour there, you can stream them together. And all of a sudden, guess what? You get paid out. I believe it's on Tuesdays and Fridays. So twice a week, they pay out your account as a worker. So I share all these different things, everything from creating different websites that would be selling cafe press or tour guides things so that you can have portfolio pieces for your web design business. House sitting so that you can actually continue to do your work while getting paid sitting in somebody else's house. local virtual assistants so you can begin to get these relationships with other small business owners so that when you finally approach them to build their website or do their marketing or do their SEO, you're approaching them as a business person relationship, not a customer trying to bridge that gap. And all of this is to show that you don't have to just resort to the traditional Uber, Lyft delivery service as the quote gig economy to help you pull in funds. There are plenty of other things you can do that are alongside your web design business, not take you, your time away from your web design business. So sometimes every once in a while, we will have these type of webinars where we try and think outside the box, how we can continue to pay the bills while still building our business, especially in those times of needs. Now, the final thing I will say, if you have several of these little hot side hustles on the side, when you have the dry spells of your web design business, those are the times where, okay, little dry spell going on, let me advertise my bumper sticker for, you know, Dogs Against Fireworks bumper sticker. Basically, if you do anything with dogs or cats and treat them as humans or give them human qualities in your bumper sticker, in your image, you are going to have people buy that for bumper stickers or coffee mugs or t-shirts. People love that type of stuff. But during your times of less income, that's when you can run another ad or do a few tweets or an image, share those type of things so that you can drive traffic to your already built websites that do those things. But the biggest thing I can encourage all of us is when we have to chase money, because we all need money to buy groceries and pay for our house, I encourage you to keep in mind, how can I not replace my freelance work, but supplement it? And boost it from the work I do outside. All right. I know this wasn't a traditional webinar like we normally do, but I hope just the ideas and these type of conversations, thinking outside the box, is helpful for you all. I hope you have a great rest of the day. Don't forget, we do have a webinar tomorrow, Thursday, and we also have a webinar on Friday. So it's definitely a busy week. I hope you have a great rest of the Wednesday. Thank you for all the messages of support. The wifey went out to North Dakota today, so she's out there for the funeral and everything. So I just appreciate the support there. And I will see you all on Slack or on tomorrow's webinar. Take care, everybody, and the handout as well as the replay should be available shortly. Take care, and we'll see you tomorrow.